Please be seated. So what struck me this morning in our gospel passage as the most powerful sentence there was is a description of Jesus. And it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. And I think what the sentence encompasses is that it shows the shape and mission and the ministry of Jesus. It shows how he does it and what he does. Because he's teaching us not only by saying these words to us, it's not just talk for Jesus, but he actually does the work. He does it in the way he lives his life. He has compassion on the crowds because they are harassed and helpless. And what I love about this line is both the succinct description of the folks gathering around Jesus, they are harassed and helpless, and the equally succinct description of the motivation behind all that is going to take place across the rest of Matthew's gospel in terms of Jesus's ministry. Because for Jesus, what he does is he sees the crowds and he has compassion on them. Because that's really all that Jesus does for the rest of the book of Matthew. He notices the crowds that are following him. They are harassed and helpless. They are desperate. They are hungry. And Jesus has compassion on them. He feeds them. He cares for them. He notices them. He has compassion on them. And the power of this description of the crowds rests in its truthfulness, because the crowds are harassed and helpless. They are walking. They are far from home. They are hungry, they are alone, they're basically camping, they haven't had a shower in a very long time. And so they're harassed and they are helpless. It's also, the towns that they're walking through aren't like towns now that are desperate for tourist dollars. These towns don't want these strangers there. These people are eating up all of their food, they're trashing their property. They want these crowds gone. And so they literally are harassed and helpless. But I think the other part of the power of this sentence is that it doesn't just describe those crowds, it talks about us. Because how many of us, if we're given the safe space to admit it, are also a little bit harassed and helpless? Because if we take the time and we make the space to allow ourselves to be honest, many of us have and do feel harassed and helpless. But we can scarce admit it to ourselves, let alone admit it to other people, or even admit it to God. Because feeling harassed and helpless is not a sign of failure or weakness, it's just a sign of being human. Because some of us feel harassed and helpless by a system that is bent on convicting the innocent and not convicting the guilty. We feel harassed and helpless by a medical field and a medical system that is so archaic and so complex. We have no idea how to get the treatment we need, or we have no idea how to navigate it, or we have no idea how to get the help that we need. We feel harassed and helpless by families that don't understand us, that treat us like dirt. Harassed and helpless by families that refuse to accept who we are and what we love or who we love. We feel harassed and helpless by our jobs or our lack of a job. We feel harassed and helpless and afraid in the streets just because of how we were born and to whom we were born. We are harassed and helpless. But sharing this truth, admitting this truth about ourselves and about the world, it opens up the door to hearing the second truth of this passage. The second truth is that Jesus sees us and has compassion for us, even if or when we are harassed and helpless. Because the power of this description of Jesus also rests in its truthfulness. Yes, Jesus came to teach and inspire, but more importantly, Jesus came out of the abundant compassion of God for the world, and so that God might demonstrate that loving compassion through word and deed. Because if we let it, this line can shape our mission and our ministry today and every day. Because in this, I think Jesus is a great teacher. He is showing us the shape of our discipleship. He is showing us the shape of our purpose as Christians here on this planet. That we too can see the crowd of harassed and helpless people in the world, and we too can have compassion on them. But the best part about this is that it's not just about us seeing the crowd of harassed and helpless and having compassion on them. It's about us seeing ourselves, seeing our own ways in which we are harassed and helpless, acknowledging those ways and turning it over to God. And it's not just that we do those things here. It's that we do those things when we are out in the world. Wherever we go, whoever we talk to, it is our work to say it's okay to be harassed and helpless. But then it is our job to have compassion on ourselves and other people. Because when Jesus was out wandering with those crowds, he didn't turn to them and first go, "Are you an Episcopalian? Are you white? Are you straight? Do you live with persistent and severe mental illness?" Jesus didn't ask any of those questions. The line for Jesus doesn't stop at just that. Jesus' compassion extends to all of us, no matter our identities, no matter our orientations, no matter what we look like, what we've done, what's been done to us. Jesus' compassion extends to all of us. And it is our work to live this every day. It is our work to remember that Jesus has compassion on us and then to show that compassion to other people. Because for Jesus, when he sees the crowds, he has compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. And we can extend that compassion to ourselves no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, no matter what's happening. And then we can extend that compassion to other people. That's our work. That's what God calls us to do every day. To have compassion on ourselves and then to have compassion on the people who surround us, whether we're here or whether we're anywhere else. May we do that work. May we find the grace and the hope and the joy within us to have compassion. And may we show it no matter what. Amen. Amen.